there actually are two thoughts that stand out in this brief book. The first one is this. The day of the Lord occurs seven times in this book. The fact of the matter is, that's the theme of the book, the day of the Lord. Obadiah and Joel, they were the first of the writing prophets to use this phrase, the day of the Lord. Now, Zephaniah is the last one to use it. And as I say, he uses it more than any other prophet. In fact, it occurs seven times in this little book, and there are other references to it, but not that particular phrase, by the way. And it has a particular application to the great tribulation period, which precedes the kingdom, but it includes the kingdom. In fact, the great tribulation is ended by the coming of Christ personally to the earth to establish the millennial kingdom. And all of that is included in the day of the Lord. And we need, therefore, to keep that before us in this little book, because the emphasis here is upon judgment. You see the first two prophets, Joel and Obadiah. Joel, for instance, you remember his book opens with that great locust plague. And he likens that locust plague to the day of the Lord that is coming in the future. And he enlarges upon it. He says the day of the Lord is not light, it's darkness. That's the way God's day begins. In fact, that's the way God writes salvation. It's on the black background of man's sin that God writes in letters of light, the wonderful gospel story for you and for me. Now, Zephaniah, he is the last of the writing prophets that uses this expression, the day of the Lord. In other words, the prophets begin with that expression, all of them refer to it, and now you come here to Zephaniah, and he prophesied during the days of Josiah, and that was the period that actually was the last spiritual movement that took place in the kingdom. There was a revival during that time. It wasn't a great one. It didn't last long, but there was a revival. And this man had known something of the reign, actually, of Ammon, an evil king, and the reign of Manasseh, a terrible king, and he knew the reign of these men. And this man sees that judgment is coming upon his nation and upon his people. And his message sounds very harsh, by the way. Now, the second thought that's in this little book, and it's the word jealousy. It only occurs twice. And jealousy, as it refers to God, is on a little different level and different plane than it is for you and me. In our jealousy, we seek actually to do evil. But God is jealous of those that are his own. He's jealous of mankind. He created him. He's purchased a redemption for him and made it possible for him to be saved. And God is jealous. It's not his will that any should perish. He wants them to be saved. He's jealous of them. But when they don't turn to him, he's going to judge them. And the thing this book makes clear as we'll go through it, God is glorified in judging as well as God is glorified in saving. Now, a great many people don't see that at all. They can't understand how that could possibly be true. But you remember over in the 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel, that is the time that God is going to judge Russia in the future. And he says that it will be in the last days, the latter days. And in chapter 38 of Ezekiel, verse 16, it reads like this, "Thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. In other words, God says, I intend to judge this godless system, this godless nation, and when I do, I will be glorified in that judgment. Now, that is a tremendous statement to make, and also, for a great many people, it's a bitter pill for them to follow. But it might be well for us to learn to think God's thoughts after him, realizing that our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways are not his ways at all.